I want to tell the children a story, and then we'll have a little talk a bit later, and it all should all connect together. Alright, because I want to talk to you about heart matters this morning. Heart matters. You can take that which way you like. Matters concerning the heart or the heart matters. Whichever way you like. Right, but I want to tell you a little story about a little girl. Her name was Gloria. And she was 5 years old. Anyone 5 years old? You're five. Oh, she's just your age then. Alright, 5 years old. But the trouble is, Gloria was born blind. Couldn't see anything. Her world was all dark. But Gloria didn't mind, because she'd never seen. So she didn't know what she was missing. You see, she'd never been able to see. But she always used to tell Mummy, she said, I can see, Mummy. I can see through the things I feel. And I touch. And I can see them. She said, when I put my hands over your face, I can see how beautiful you are. You see, and she could see by touching. She could tell her nice soft bed. And she could tell a nice hard chair. And she visualized what it was like by the shape. You see? She said, so I can see with my hands. And she could see when she felt the stairs as Mummy helped her to walk up the stairs. She could see going upstairs by the feel of it. And the feel of it under her feet. But she couldn't feel going downstairs, because Mummy would never let her go downstairs. She always carried her. So she could see going upstairs by the feel of it, but she didn't know about coming downstairs, because she always got carried. So she couldn't see coming downstairs. One day Mummy and Daddy had a word with Gloria, and they said, look, we're going to send you to school. Now you're 5 years old. You're going to go to a special school where all the other children are blind as well. You see, so they'll all be the same as you. And she said, you're going to sleep at this school Monday to Friday, and then every Friday night we'll come pick you up, bring you home for the weekend, and then back you go on Monday. And Gloria's a little bit frightened about this. Will I be able to see things there? Because she wasn't familiar with them. Anyway, the day come, and they took her to school. And as they walked up and they knocked on the door of the school, a lady came to the door and spoke to them. And Gloria thought, I've got to remember these voices so I know who is talking to me. So she called this voice number one. It was a kind voice, but quite a stern voice. So she got it in her mind about voice number one. When it was time to go to bed that night, fine, she walked up the stairs with the other children. She could feel the stairs going up. But in the morning, I was told to come downstairs. And Gloria says, I can't. I can't see coming downstairs. I've never come downstairs. Can you carry me? Oh, we don't carry here. You have to learn to come downstairs, you see, said voice number one. And she got all reworked up. She said, I can't see. And she began to cry. She said, oh dear, I don't know what to do. I can't see coming downstairs. And then another lady came up. And she said, "What's the trouble? What are you crying for?" And this, she recognized, this was voice number two. This was a different one. And she was very, very kind. She wasn't as stern as the first one, voice number one, but she was a kind voice. So she thought, So voice number two said, "Okay, come on." She picked her up and took her downstairs, you see. And when they had their breakfast and all that, and they went out into the grounds, another voice came up to her. And, "Hello, Gloria." She said, "Oh, I haven't heard that one. That must be voice number three." You see? And so she spoke to her, and she got used to her voice, and she's keeping in her mind voice number one, voice number two, voice number three. And voice number three said to her, "Do you want to go and play in the sand pit? Little Tommy can take you. He knows the way. He's been here before lots of times." She said, "That sounds fun." So little Tommy took her by the hand. He was blind as well, but he knew the way. And he started taking her to the sand pit to play. But he was going too quick for her. She says, "Oh, please slow down, please slow down." And her hand was out like this, trying to keep hold of him. But he didn't slow down, and they lost their grip, and little Tommy carried on, and poor little Gloria. Poor little Gloria, she said, "Oh dear, now I'm completely lost. I've got nobody, I can't see, don't know where I am." And she just sat on the ground, and she cried, and she cried, and she cried. And then another voice came up to her. Voice number four. And voice number four was so kind, so sweet, so loving. She got hold of her, she gave her a cuddle, and she spoke lovely things into her ear. Now, she said, "Don't worry, it's all right." She said, "I have got you." She said, "I've got you, and you've got no need to fear at all. You know, I'm here, and I'll help you." And awful Gloria loved voice number four. She thought she was lovely. Really lovely. You know, and anyway, she went through the week, and she got used to voice number one, voice number two, voice number three. But oh, how she loved voice number four. She was so beautiful and kind. And it came to Friday, and Mummy come to pick her up. And all the weekend at home, all Gloria could talk about was voice number four. What a lovely person she was. How kind she was. She's very, very beautiful. She's like an angel, Mummy, she said. She's lovely. So when Mummy took her back on Monday morning, she said, "I think I will go and see voice number four," she says, "to thank her." She says, "How will I find her, Gloria?" She said, "Well, if you look for the most beautiful person there," she says, you will know that's voice number four. She's like an angel, Mummy. She's beautiful. So Mummy said, "Okay." So anyway, she went, she let Gloria go into the school, and she went into the office there and saw a lady. She says, "I want to speak to someone that my daughter called voice number four to thank her." She said, "I think her name is Mrs. Anderson." She said, "I think that's her name." She said, "Could you tell me where I find her?" So she said, "Well, that's me. I'm Mrs. Anderson." And Mummy looked at her, and she was a little old lady. She had grey hair tied back in a bun. And she's all wrinkly. And Mummy thought, she must be the ugliest teacher here. So she looks awful. But she did have the sweetest voice. lives. And when she next saw Gloria and she told her all about it, she said, "Yes, Mummy, but whatever she looks like to you doesn't really matter." She said, "I can see her, the real person. And she's beautiful. She's beautiful, what I can see of her. And how she is to me. She's beautiful." And when I heard that story, it reminded me of a verse of scripture, which we're going to look at a little bit later. Right? God doesn't look at the outward appearance, but he looks on the heart. You know, and that's true. God doesn't judge us what we look like. You know, he looks at our heart. Just like Gloria, she couldn't see if voice number 4 was ugly. She didn't really care. To her, she was beautiful because of the way she was to her, and her kindness and her love. And that's what God sees. He sees us on the inside. Right, 1 Samuel 16. "Now the Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons.' And Samuel said, 'How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me.' But the Lord says, 'Take a heifer with you, and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. And then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you should do. You should anoint for me the one I name for you.' So Samuel did what the Lord said. He went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, 'Do you come peaceably?' And he said, 'Peaceably I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice.' Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, 'Surely the Lord's anointed is before him.' But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. A man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.' So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, 'Neither has the Lord chosen this one.' Then Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, 'Neither has the Lord chosen this one.' Thus Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, 'The Lord has not chosen these.' And Samuel said to Jesse, 'Are all your young men here?' Then he said, 'Well, there remains yet the youngest. There he is, keeping the sheep.' And Samuel said to Jesse, 'Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here.' So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, his eyes, bright eyes, good looking. And the Lord said, 'Arise, anoint him, for this is the one.' And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him to his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah." Amen. Father, bless your precious word, Lord. Help us to see this tremendous truth. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord doesn't look at the outward appearance. What a lovely story this is. We know that Saul wasn't a very good king, and God had demoted him. That was the end of Saul. But God had another king in mind, David. And so he sent Samuel, as we read, to Jesse in Bethlehem, and all his sons, his big, strong lads, come before him. But God says, no, it's not any of them. And I like the way Samuel said to Jesse, are these all your sons? Haven't you got any more? And he said, well, there's David over there. He's keeping the sheep. He's only young. He's not worth bothering with, you know, not David. You see, those that kept the sheep in those days weren't very well thought of, you know. It was a very menial task. So it's just David who keeps the sheep. Bring him here, Samuel said. And the Lord said, this is the one. Anoint him. And we know what happened. He came on the greatest kings of Israel. And when Jesus comes again, he's coming to sit on David's throne. Yeah. So that's a wonderful story. But he was the least likely person to be king. He was only young, inexperienced, just a keeper of the sheep. But God chose him. Because God didn't look on the outward appearance, he looked on David's heart. David wasn't perfect. We know he ended up killing someone and committing adultery with his wife. But David's heart was right, because we read that psalm together at the beginning of the meeting. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. David had a repentant heart when he knew he had sinned. You know. And God liked that. God liked David's heart. And it was David's heart that God was looking at, not his outward appearance. You know, there's some verses in 1 Corinthians that I was looking at yesterday. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it tells us there, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. God has chosen the foolish, the based, the weak, and the despised. Wonderful. So if you're chosen this morning, that's what you are. So don't get any big ideas about yourself. Right? That's what God said. That's who he's chosen. Right, he hasn't chosen the sort of people that the world would choose. The successful people. The highly intelligent people. Rich people. And all that. He hasn't chosen them. Right. He's chosen the ordinary people. Right. Those that are despised. Those that are weak. God has chosen them. Because he doesn't look at the outward signs. He looks at the heart. And I wonder about you this morning. You know. Have you checked your heart lately? God's looking at your heart. Remember the story of Gloria? It wasn't the outward appearance of voice number four. It was her heart. Gloria could see her heart. She could feel the kindness and the love that came from her heart. And that's what God sees this morning. How about you and I? Are we kind? Are we loving? Are we forgiving? Surprising the number of Christians who don't forgive very easily. You know, I've come across many in my time that they find it very hard to forgive. We should find it easy to forgive. Because God has forgiven us. And if we don't forgive, it tells us God won't forgive us. We have to forgive. When someone does something wrong to us, don't think revenge, retaliation. That's what the world does. We should think forgiveness, acceptance, love. These things come from the heart. It's what comes from the heart that matters. Jesus taught that. He said all the sin and wickedness comes from the heart. All the jealousies and the envies and everything else comes from the heart. All the things that mar a person, they come from the heart. You know, but we need a pure heart. We need a heart like David. It doesn't mean to say we're going to be perfect. But we know when we do wrong that we ask God to forgive us and he cleanses us. You see, we don't love the sin anymore that we once loved. We still fall sometimes. It's our human nature. But we don't love that life anymore. Because we want to please him. Because we love him. It matters what our heart is like this morning. And I just thought it would be good if all of us, not publicly, but today done a heart check. You don't need to put wires on yourself and look at a screen. Do a heart check. Before God. Be like David. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You know, how we need to have that today. So important. Because when God looks at you, he doesn't care if you're going grey. He doesn't care if you're fat and ugly like me. He doesn't care about things like that. He looks at your heart. And I hope you and I can do that. Learn to judge by the heart. Learn to see people as they really are in their heart. Forgetting what the eye sees. I want to tell you a little story. This is true. Some of you may have heard this before, but it is absolutely true. It happened to me. Some years ago now, next door to us became empty. The old man that was there died. And it was a rented property. And we wasn't sure who we'd get. We kept praying, Lord, maybe we get good neighbours, because you hear such terrible stories, don't you? Maybe we get some nice neighbours. Anyway, we saw a removal van turn up one day. And of course, we was eager at the window looking to see who was going to have us neighbours, you see. And my goodness me, was I shocked. Because in walked this big man. Tattoos all over the place. A Mohican haircut. and it was tipped with orange on the top. And I thought, God, what are you giving us? Oh dear. But you know, he was the nicest man that we could ever wish to have next door. And that taught me a lesson. I was looking at his appearance. He was a lovely neighbour. He wasn't there long, but he was a lovely neighbour. Didn't give any trouble at all. He was courteous and kind and polite and everything. And I thought, yes, the Lord looks on the heart. God did answer my prayer. But he taught me a lesson that day. So we need to be careful. You know, see that God looks at our heart. He looked at David, the most unlikely candidate for king. Just a little shepherd boy. But he saw David's heart. And I trust that you and I would just do that heart check today. Is my heart right, Lord? If not, create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Let's make that our prayer. Amen.